The BioSense 2.0 does what no other system does currently, which it gives near real-time insights into the health of communities, regions, or the nation, providing critical data needed to understand and address health problems at local, state, and federal levels. BioSense 2.0 partners with public health officers at state and local and other federal agencies, also with the healthcare providers and others like the national labs or the pharmacy retail stores, to track the health and well-being of communities across the country. With this information, of course, you can make better decisions in near real time about how to safeguard and improve your community's health or the nation's health. Instead of looking in a needle haystack, what we're trying to do with BioSense 2.0 is really trying to define what the haystack is.
Is BioSense an operational program, or is it simply a reporting system with information being fed in by the locales?
That's a good question. It is an operational system. The current BioSense, it's where you have healthcare providers, such as hospital emergency rooms, some public health departments who conduct various syndromic surveillance-like activities and surveillance, where they report into BioSense as a central hub. However, in the 2.0, we're trying to move a more decentralized approach and try to provide a platform for collaboration and for peer-to-peer sharing of that information, so you can have a better understanding of the context where this information has happened in the first place.
So BioSense is moving into the cloud. What advantage does that give you?
Absolutely. So the project as a whole on campus is more than software and IT services, extending to broad public health ecosystem enhancements, relationship development, policy management, and capacity building at state and local levels, among other pursuits. However, the BioSense 2.0 and the BioSense cloud services, also known as the CaptureSMIT, form the flagship piece of the program, with significant resources devoted to them as well as high expectation from the user community. Now, why the cloud? Is the business model for BioSense 2.0 has changed into in a way that we want to make sure that state and local are able to conduct that type of surveillance activity and be able to provide a platform for them to share across jurisdictions, look over the fence, be able to friend one another in case of events or during routine surveillance. The cloud technology is, as you know, it's flexible, scalable, cost-effective, and has one added benefit, being able to encourage the collaboration in a collaborative approach to public health surveillance, where the current BioSense technology cannot allow, which is a centralized server system, not very flexible, difficult to scale, and expensive to build and maintain. So we foresee four main benefits to participating in the BioSense 2.0, and will likely be to many others as the system evolves as well. I mean, these are just kind of summarize them. You have, as a locale, you'll have a greater capacity data management and storage. It'll be far cost-effective on information technology and infrastructure, greater and more timely access to regional and national surveillance as others share data with you and you're sharing data with them, and greater access to peers for sharing knowledge and best practices. So the way that the BioSense 2.0 is going to encompass, as I mentioned earlier, the CaptureSMIT, and that's if you're familiar with the incentivized under the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS Meaningful Use Program. We're a lot of locales trying to take advantage of that program by linking with their providers to share that information. However, that information can be of a very high volume, and in case of pandemics or events, you have also high rates of that data. A lot of health departments not able to manage that sheer volume of information. So the CaptureSMIT provided in the cloud will provide the health departments that that level of complexity at no cost to them, where the BioSense program offers those services as well as the analytic and other deep analysis services and visualization tools.
We're speaking with Taha Kosshut, the BioSense program manager at CDC. Now, it sounds like there's a lot of information coming into this online environment, whether cloud or local hosted, because as you said, you've expanded the number of conditions that you want to report on. So from the user standpoint, either at CDC or at the local level, how does one sort through all of it to find the needle in the haystack that you might be creating with all of the information?
Oh, that's a really excellent question. So we're taking what we refer to as a user-centered approach. So instead of going and designing a system that's going to be encompassing everything and try to dream about everything up front, we start with the users asking them, what is it that you want the new BioSense to do for you? And by doing that is essentially you learn a lot. You learn a lot from the users as well. You learn a lot from the collective requirements that we received, where a lot of folks can have about 90-95% of the requirements that they can share with one another. And based on that, we've been developing the prototype of how the locale or those in the national, like federal agencies such as CDC or DOD and VA, be able to interact with information and as well as provide social features so folks can interact with one another, be able to share what is it that they're sharing for what time period with whom. And it was really, really simple. We start with sort of like you have a Google search with a very, very simple search. You start with a little bit more than a Google search, but still very simple to such a hard problem. So the three elements that we start with is what, where, and when. Define what is it that you're looking for in what locale or jurisdiction, could be a regional or national. You can have multiple things there as well, and over what time period. That's always going to be the basis of what you're looking for. So when you do that, then you start having a picture of what's going on over a map as well as over time series. And then you'd be able to compare rates or compare one jurisdiction to another. Is my jurisdiction being hit more severely than the other jurisdiction? Is it going in the direction my way or is it going away from me? Be able to prepare, be able to help one another. So that's how we started the whole idea. So there are two major components, as I mentioned. There's the capture submit that catches all that information, help a lot of the locales be able to process and sift through that information and make it available to them to see it. And then there's a platform for sharing and collaboration, and we'll provide a lot of different ways how you can share that information.
Briefly, can you tell us about the cost and time involved in that migration to the cloud? And will the users notice any difference with the migration to the cloud?
Absolutely. So the go-live date for us is November this year. That's when we go on live. So any health departments in the country could, if they choose to take advantage of the Meaningful Use Program or other data sources that we're trying to coordinate with other partners, they can participate then. The cost to us has been significant to where it is currently to maintain the current CDC infrastructure. But the real cost value, and we're working with Association State and Territorial Health Officers, or ASTO, which the new governance model, shared governance model, as well as the new cloud services will sit under in a shared and collaborative way with CDC, they're going to do the real return on investment for a lot of health departments. We know what the cost saving to us, which is tremendous to us, about 80% saving in cost to us. But that saving would turn it around into supporting this new environment as well as funding health departments so we can maintain the base and connect the dots.